So let's jump into the main topic of this week's episode, and it's the Whole30 diet. Like I mentioned in the beginning, I'd had probably this past week, actually it's probably the last 2 weeks, I had a client a few weeks ago say, hey, he has a new functional medicine doctor, and he got him on the Whole30 diet. He says he's feeling great. I was like, oh, that's good. I've heard some good things about that. And then it kind of snowballed a little bit. And then when another person asked me about the Whole30, I started investigating. And then two of my clients had a conversation about it because one of my clients had done it and said she really enjoyed it. So yeah, the Whole30 came up a lot in my world as of late. So I wanted to investigate it a little bit. So I went onto the website, and it has a nice little list of what you can and what you can't eat.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got another great, I think, nutrition-themed episode would be a good way of putting it.
It's all about the food.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of questions about a certain type of diet lately and had several conversations about it in the last week, so I was like, let's investigate the pros and the cons of the Whole30 diet. So we're going to get into that. But before we do so, we want to thank you guys for listening. We know you guys are sharing the podcast with a friend. So keep doing it, whether you're texting an episode link to somebody or, you know, turning them on in the App Store to us, or maybe sending them to the Addicted Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Whatever you're doing, thank you. And keep it up. So training recaps. I'm going to let you go first for a training recap. You go first.
Okay, it's going to be real fast. Mm-hmm. I got on the Peloton once.
Got on the Peloton once this week?
And then that was it.
So you kept your streak going?
I got on once.
You got once.
Yeah,
so you kept the weekly once. Streak go. Good.
Yep, and then my energy, like, fell rock bottom towards the middle of the week. And, yeah. So I didn't really get any more workouts in.
Have you ever tried it working out? Well, I guess that probably wouldn't work. I was going to say in the evening, but I guess that probably wouldn't be doable.
Yeah, considering I'm usually whatchamacallit, taking care of Ella, and then sometimes like working after she goes to bed. I literally have no time. The only window of time. I did think about that because, like, I know a bunch of my friends, they do actually work out in the evenings. Like, they'll go for jogs, or they'll do, like, the bulk of their workouts, like, around 4 or 5 o'clock. And they definitely seem to like it. And, you know, like, they hop in the shower, and they do their showers at night, and... Mm-hmm. It appeals to me. It really, really does. But it's just, it doesn't fit my lifestyle.
We'll see. I mean, maybe we'll give it a shot this week for you. Maybe one of the days I come home early, you know, and pick up Ella and make dinner. You can either do it when I'm putting her to bed. You can jump on the Peloton or something. Come on.
No.
Let's give it a shot. Okay.
No, it just doesn't fit. Just doesn't fit. Usually I'm on the computer and I'm doing work with any free minute that I have in the evening. So, unfortunately, it just doesn't fit my life right now.
All right.
We'll see, you know, check back in like a year. I know my like hours as my limitations go.
I mean, you did some physical activity today for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this weekend I was on my feet like... I was cooking, I was cleaning, I was shopping, I was painting.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of painting this weekend. So in terms of just being like up and about, I've been very active this weekend especially, but I didn't get in a lot of like specific training points, but... That is more of like a cyclical thing with me. I tend to try to match my training towards kind of like my cycle and things. And it was just one of the weeks that I wasn't going to really have any trainings.
Mm. Well, I brought, I have a lighter kettlebell now, so I'll bring the lighter one in if you want to use that, because I know we've got the 35-pound one in here, and it's probably a little...
Yeah, that one's not going to work for me.
So
I need like a good 20-pounder.
Yep, I'll bring it back in, get you the 20-pounder so you can use it. But speaking of kettlebells, I did get a good kettlebell workout in this week. Also did a nice body weight workout that I featured on my Instagram stories. And I also got in a Peloton. So nice. I was able to spread it around, you know, kettlebell, body weight, and Peloton. So it felt good. You know, was really need these workouts as of late. And I also shot a video of an excerpt, like a body weight video for for body weight exercise. So I kind of worked out twice.
Nice.
In the same day. It was like the same. I did the workout in the beginning of the day, and I also did a modified version of it later in the day for a video, for a workout video. So I had to work out 2 days. So I felt pretty productive this week. So I would think my training was pretty on point. Need to start stepping up my, or getting back into my meditation routine. I usually do my daily meditations in the beginning of the day, like first thing in the morning. So I need to try to get back a little better on that routine. So I use Headspace. I know you use a different app.
I use Calm.
Were you consistent with that? Were you able to be consistent with that this week? Or not as much as you like, probably?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I will also say that it's also thrown me a bit of a loop. We've been doing some middle of the night get ups for the last five nights.
True.
And it's taking me some time to sort of adjust to that new waking up in the middle of the night schedule.
Yeah.
So.
I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we don't have to do that forever. But, so that was our training for this week. Hopefully like both of us can just keep progressing, right? That's the key. Let's get back on to multiple movement days a week.
Yep.
That's what we're hoping for. So hopefully you guys are doing the same thing. So let's jump into the main topic of this week's episode, and it's the Whole30 diet. Like I mentioned in the beginning, I'd had probably this past week, actually, it's probably the last 2 weeks. I had a client a few weeks ago say, hey, he has a new functional medicine doctor, and he got him on the Whole30 diet. He said he's feeling great. I was like, oh, that's good. I've heard some good things about that. And then it kind of snowballed a little bit. And then when another person asked me about the Whole30, I started investigating. And then two of my clients had a conversation about it, because one of my clients had done it and said she really enjoyed it. So I was reading, and then another client a few days after that was, you know, who's very, very vocal about, you know, trying to lose weight and whatnot. And, he doesn't understand why he can't do it, but, he hasn't really tried to, adhere to any, kind of structured eating plans and or watching his calories and minimizing some activities that, contribute to weight gain or inhibit weight loss is probably a better way of saying it too. So the Whole30 came up a lot in my world as of late. So I wanted to investigate it a little bit. So I went onto the website, and it has a nice little list of what you can and what you can't eat. So under their program rules, actually, if you look on their website, it actually, boom, Shannon's bringing it up. So we're going to go right to the source. And I'm going to let Shannon go into what you can eat.
It says you absolutely can eat real food. So eat meat, seafood, eggs, vegetables, fruit, natural fats, herbs, spices, seasonings. Eat foods with simple or recognizable list of ingredients, or no ingredients at all because they're whole and unprocessed.
Yeah, so, and then they have a nice long list of things you can or cannot eat or cannot do, essentially, kind of activity. I don't know if any activities are on there, but.
The avoid.
So the avoid ones is no added sugar, real or artificial. So I love doing this. I want to just, usually we'll probably hit these bullet points, but I'm going to expound on this because when they talk about no added sugar, real or artificial, that means no maple syrup, no honey, no agave nectar, no coconut sugar, no date syrup, no stevia, no Splenda, no Equal, no NutraSweet, no xylitol, or sugar alcohols.
Or monk fruit extract.
Exactly. So all those things, okay? They say small amounts of fruit juice used as a sweetener in recipes, however, is allowed and whole fruits are not restricted. So that's kind of important. But if people are wanting, I love when people, some people ask me and I was like, you know, cut down your sugar. You know, that sugar, you know, usually is kind of a source of some unnecessary calories, even though we do burn sugar. Usually better off getting it from like whole fruit because you get the fiber and whatnot.
Yeah, it's also so much but more like digestible.
Just straight sugar from either like, you know, white sugar or all that whole list we just went off. Like people are like, I just put a little bit of honey in my coffee. And I was like, okay, you know, honey is sugar. Just so, yes, it has vitamins and things like that. And some people may argue local honey could help with allergies or whatnot. But,
yep.
You know, it's still sugar. You know, what about
sugar? Sugar is sugar.
What about agave nectar? Agave nectar. Sugar. And then, you know, they'll list three of other things.
My favorite.
Yeah.
Maple syrup.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can drink maple syrup.
Sugar is sugar. Okay. So under Whole 30, you can't have added money. Can't have any of those. Doesn't matter what they call it. Okay. And they also talk about, you know, the artificial sweeteners or xylitol too, which is sugar alcohol. Mm. So they're really strict.
And no swerve.
Yep. So I think, you know, the second one they have are kind of off limits thing here that I'm looking at. Shane might have a little something different. If I miss something, fill it in. No alcohol. Right. So in the Whole 30, as you guys can imagine, it's 30 days. Basically, they have these rules. They want people to adhere to these rules for 30 days for the program. So I'm sorry I didn't lead off with that. But after no alcohol, no grains. So no wheat, no rye, no barley, oats, corn, rice, millet, bulgur, sorghum, sprouted grains, quinoa, amaranth, thank you, or buckwheat. So yeah, no grains, guys. So no tortillas, no bread, no rice, no, you know, pitas, no nothing, none of that, no wraps, okay?
No gluten-free pseudo cereals.
There we go, like, thank you.
That's where the quinoa, amaranth, and buckwheat come in.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, eliminate that. They say avoid most legumes. What does it say on the website? So this says avoid most
legumes. It says do not eat most forms of legumes.
Okay, well, there you go. That's kind of the same thing. This includes beans of all kinds, peas, chickpeas, lentils, peanuts, peanut butter.
I have a serious issue with this diet.
Lentils, peanuts, peanut butter, and soy products. If you need a list of soy products, just Google it. Foods like green beans and sugar snap peas are not legumes and can be enjoyed on the Whole 30. So that's a good thing to know too. I mean, kind of the thought behind the legumes is that, you know, beans can be inflammatory or legumes can be inflammatory, but especially for certain people. So, yeah. Some people react to it different. As you guys will see in kind of the thought of the Whole 30, it's a restrictive diet. You eliminate things that are commonly inflammatory to people, and then you kind of reintroduce them after the 30-day reset to see what affects you and what doesn't affect you. So got a couple more on the list. No dairy. So that includes cow, goat, and sheep milk products like milk, cream cheese, kefir, yogurt, yada, yada, yada. You guys know the list. The only exceptions are ghee and clarified butter, in which the milk proteins have been removed.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I know that's a toughie for me because yogurt is such a big part of my diet. So I know people, it was funny, the person I was talking to this week, one of the people that went through it, we were talking about that. And I was like, that was kind of the big sticking point for me, the yogurt. She's like, oh, there's so many like alternative milk yogurts, like, you know, coconut or almond, which we know, we've tried them before. But it's not the same. I'm trying to think. Was it Wiz Khalifa Farms? Do they put a yogurt out? I think they do. I'm trying to think. We've had one recently that were pretty good. I think it was the Khalifa Farms.
Yeah, and it's usually, I know I think that we tried their oat milk.
That one. Was it. It was the oat milk one.
But
that's
you can't
right.
do oat milk on theirs on Whole 30.
Oh, you're right. Touche. So I guess you got to do almond or coconut milk.
Yeah, you could do, I think there are some now that are made with cashews.
Interesting. So keep going. Avoid certain seeds and vegetable oils. This includes canola oil, chia, corn, cottonseed, flax, grapeseed, hemp, palm kernel, peanut, rice bran, safflower, sesame, soybean, and sunflower oils. So another thing about inflammatory, seed oils, especially if you use them, heat them up, can be very inflammatory. Have a lot of free radicals that, according to some research, can have, detrimental response. Your body has a detrimental response to those. So the last two are mostly, the last one is an additives. How do you pronounce that word? No carrageenan?
I was looking at that. Carrageenan.
Carrageenan.
How I would guess.
Yeah, MSG or sulfides. Sulfites.
You're right.
These are additives that appear in any form on the label. Don't consume it.
Don't eat sulfates. Don't drink your shampoo. You know, it's like common
sense. MSG, people know, it's usually associated with, I think, Asian food. But a lot of...
It's where it got its bad rap.
Yeah, I guess it's a good call. Yeah,
it's probably not commonly really used anymore.
Yeah, hopefully a lot of places don't use it as much, but make sure you check the label because you'd be surprised what you find nowadays. But the carrageenan is actually a seaweed extract. And I knew about that because I think we researched it's commonly in or used to be in almond milks. That's where I used to see it all the time. A lot of nut milks, I should say, because it's kind of like an emulsifier, a thickening agent. So a lot of issues you have with nut milks is not thick like real milk. So, and I was like, seaweed extract, how can that be bad? But apparently it can be inflammatory with some people, so cause digestive problems. So that's what some research says, so that's why they take it off the list. And their last thing they have on here, and you let me know if I miss something, no baked goods, junk foods, or treats with approved, quote-unquote, ingredients.
Yeah, so this one...
do they elaborate on that?
Yes.
What do they mean by approved ingredients?
So basically they say that like recreating or buying sweets, treats, and foods with no breaks... even if the ingredients are technically compatible, is missing the whole point of the Whole30 program and won't lead to habit change. That's the whole idea behind the Whole30, is that you're changing your habits for 30 days, which is kind of what they say restarts a new habit.
Right.
So that's why it's 30 days. It's not just because it's a nice calendar, but it's also because it's all about starting a habit.
Right.
So they say, like, even if it's a coconut, coconut flour pancake, it's still a pancake. It's still not allowed.
Interesting.
So basically, they're not believers that you go ahead and, like, make healthier versions of the not-so-great baked goods. They just say, no.
Yeah. So to kind of reiterate, I know I just went through the whole list of things you can't eat. I know Shannon said it in the beginning, but I want to reiterate it just so you know what you can eat on the Whole30. Meat, poultry, seafood, eggs, vegetables, fruit, natural fats, nuts, vinegar, except for malt vinegar, coconut aminos, herbs, spices, and seasonings. So that's what is on your menu for the Whole30. So I'm checking out this article. I know Shannon's on the Whole30 website. I am checking out a verywellfit.com article. This was updated in February 5th of this year. It's by Darla Leal and reviewed by Marissa Moore, who's a registered dietitian and nutritionist, and she also has a master's degree. So I first off, what do you think? After hearing that list of things, what do you think about this?
Well, I also like on the website, they have one addition under the things that you don't do. It's not a food, but I actually really like this component. Do not step on the scale or take any body measurements for 30 days. So it doesn't mean that you can't do that before. Like, you're definitely going to do that before. but you're not doing that kind of compulsively throughout, because as a lot of, I think, health professionals will tell people that are starting any kind of major dietary shift or even any like major training shift, your body's going to go through an adjustment period. It's gonna lose weight, it's gonna gain weight, it's gonna like fluctuate because it might be holding on to water, or you might have, you know, more muscle, less fat. So like the fact that they make this whole diet no measurements during this period, that I get down with. But the uber restrictive nature of it for me, I think, isn't going to work for most people. I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I like that it's a very defined time period. I think for that reason, if you really wanted to do it, you could. But I, like, this wouldn't be something I would do at this point in my life.
Right.
Because I know with our family and everything, it's just not conducive. I would stress myself out way more trying to keep up with something like this.
Right.
It's going to affect your whole lifestyle. You're not going to be going out to eat. You're not going to be ordering out. You're not going to be able to eat a lot of the same foods that people are you're with are. So unless you are living by yourself and you just want to challenge yourself, there's going to probably be some major changes from like a social standpoint.
Right. I mean, I think you could definitely go out still. There's plenty of things on your the approved eating list that you can order at a restaurant. I mean, you can order. I mean, obviously, you probably you won't be able to tell about the additives or not. Unfortunately, that's kind of
right. Like you're not going to be drinking alcohol. Yeah. You're not going to be like.
But I mean,
when I was when
not
I
drinking
was,
alcohol is not a huge ask.
When I was vegan, I found going out challenging.
Yeah.
Not because, like, of course, I could always find lettuce somewhere, but it didn't mean that was something that was going to be enjoyable.
Right.
And because I didn't know what was on what was in most of the dishes, I couldn't eat most food out there.
Right.
I was limited to these very boring dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And people judge you.
Right.
And it gets wearing. But again, this is 30 days. So the fact that it's limited, I think, is something that people could adjust to.
Right. Yep. I mean, I think I agree. Like I said, it's, you know, I think it's a good challenge. I like doing the 30-day challenge.
Yeah,
I've done
those
before.
Yeah, the challenges
are fun. So, you know, what it, elimination diets, that's, I mean, a lot of stuff happens. I mean, a lot of people, whether they go vegan, whether they go paleo, whether they go Whole 30, it's basically an elimination diet.
Yep.
You're having certain items of your diet beforehand, you're eliminating it, and you see how your body reacts. So, obviously this one, they focus on eliminating what they believe to be inflammatory foods, which I think is a good idea. I don't see any benefit to, I mean, I shouldn't say any benefit, but I don't think there's any real health benefits, maybe besides stress reliever to alcohol. And obviously, depends on what type of alcohol you drink as far as ingesting calories. So I don't think that's a huge ask. I think it's good, like I said, and I think it also is going to force you with the thing with that. I'm hoping a lot of diets, whether it's Whole 30 or whatever, I think it forces you to do is to be more conscious of what you're putting in your body.
Hey.
And maybe usually helps you or usually forces you to cook more, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I think these kind of habits and like the 30-day challenge along with the habits is good, because I think that's really what you need. You need basically a new, your food has to be your lifestyle. You know, it's not a diet, it's not a temporary fix. You know, it's basically you want to have a lifelong way of eating. You know, as long as you don't have any health conditions that vary or have force you to change. But if you're trying to stay at a healthy weight and have energy and exercise, you want to find a healthy way of eating that promotes that or facilitates all those things. So you don't want to just have to be yo-yo dieting, going from one thing to the next, the newest craze. you want to find a way of eating that benefits you the most.
Yeah,
and I think this could be it, because then you can discover what works, what doesn't, because obviously after the 30 days, it's about reintroducing things that your body can handle that aren't detrimental.
I mean, there's a part of this that reminds me of Atkins. Remember how Atkins was one of those diets? Was it Atkins? Where like it took a bunch of foods out. And then it also added some in. Or was that South Beach?
I don't remember South Beach. Atkins, I remember, was mostly, it was very...
No, it was just mostly carbs, heavy fat.
It was mostly, it's almost very similar to keto, Atkins was. Yeah.
But there have been diets that have been about eliminating certain groups of food, mm-hmm. like one at a time. And then going like very slim for like a couple weeks and then slowly adding things back.
Right.
So I think that, like you said, it's the consciousness and like the actual, you have to apply so much more attention and so much more focus on your food that it feels like it becomes your whole life. You know, like for a while until you are educated mm-hmm. on what foods, how you eat them, what you like, how you prepare them. It's a really good like immersion into all of that. Like this whole 30, I feel like is almost like an immersion life where you're looking at a very, very clean diet.
Yep.
And you're also, but they're telling you to cook. They're telling you to use things, you know, in non-complicated ways and not using processed foods. And that, as an education, I feel like is absolutely vital. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see Whole 30 being a great starting, like, kickoff for someone that wants to just turn their whole diet upside down. I mean, it's essentially what I did when I was vegan. I went vegan for like a year and a half. And then I started adding things back in. And at certain times, I mean, I know that's not what this diet is, but the whole mentality around it was to learn about, you know, the animal products that I used, kind of how you do the challenges. It's mm-hmm. all based around education.
Yeah.
Even if you do the Whole 30 and you don't decide that, you know, this is something you're looking to maintain, you're going to walk away with so much more knowledge.
Yeah. And I think
that's what it's about.
Yeah. And I think knowledge and skills. Like, I think the skill of meal prepping is huge. I think the skill of looking at food labels is huge. Planning your grocery trips is huge. I think that all goes along with nutrition. Mm-hmm. You know, that's being educated in regards in that aspect to those skills is necessary, because that helps you avoid the backslides, the just freaking unconscious grocery shopping, impulse shopping when you go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
If you're more conscious in doing those, if you have those skills under your belt, you'll be able to navigate the newest freaking, TGI Fridays offering at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said TGI Fridays. It was all I could think about.
Well, and going back to the point about elimination diets, mm-hmm. if you haven't done one before, even, you know, if you've never done a really intense, you know, highly restrictive diet for any length of time, more than a week, I'm talking at least like a month, you'd are also missing out on a big opportunity of knowing yourself. And that, I think, is one of the things not talked about as much, because we've talked about how diets are not going to be something that can be applied to everybody, because everybody's body is different. Everybody mm-hmm. has different sensitivities. Everybody's body, you know, everybody is starting from a different point. So certain foods are going to be fine for one person, but be terrible for another. Like when you and I were trying to eat the same, I was miserable because I cannot eat like you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't do the heavy, heavy fats. It makes me feel horrible. I can do some things that you can't,
mm-hmm.
but like our food weaknesses and our food, like, you know, crutches and stuff, I feel like are different.
Yeah.
And it's important for you to know your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for you to know how your body feels on certain things. And that's actually what they say on their website. I give them credit for it. They say that it is an elimination diet, but it is because that it's still like the gold standard in identifying food sensitivities. So in order to accurately test how your body responds in the absence of potentially problematic foods, you have to completely eliminate them. So they've gone ahead and they've eliminated these most highly problematic foods.
Mm-hmm.
So you can figure it out for yourself.
So we've kind of went through, that was kind of a de facto pros and cons list out for ourselves. This website, this article that I mentioned earlier, they had a list of pros and cons. And I don't know if just looking at it, their cons are actual cons, but they may be pro in my book. But anyways, they say pros, eat wholesome, real food, no weighing or measuring, which is kind of beneficial. I know that could get tedious. No fasting or complicated meal timing. No essential special products or supplements to buy. That is a good thing as far mm-hmm. as, like, you talked about South Beach. I think there's South Beach products and stuff. Coffee is allowed. Definite pro. Okay. Cons, very restricted diet. And we kind of talked about that. Meal planning and preparation required.
That's questionable, I don't know if
that's a con.
I feel like that should be under pro.
And this is something you mentioned, difficult to follow in social settings, which may be true. I could see that.
Yes.
No cheating for 30 days, which, I mean, you're...
Again, that's the whole concept of this.
You're training your body to, yeah.
It's
so,
supposed to be restrictive.
Exactly. Must read food labels, which... I don't know
why
that's
a con.
Like I said, I don't know why that's a con.
That's a basic, like, woohoo.
No sugar, alcohol may lead to physical withdrawal symptoms.
Oh,
I mean, I guess depending on how much of that you were eating or drinking beforehand, I guess that's true. But if that's the case, you know, whole 30, you may need something a little bit more involved than the whole 30 program
in the 30 day
you may need some more more medical professional help.
You might need a counselor or something for that, so
that was their list. Like I said, it's some of the things on their cons list I wouldn't really call cons. I would say they're actually pros.
Yeah, and I mean they do have a point, kind of like on the sugar alcohol thing, where going from 100 to 0 is not really going to work for most people.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
For some people, it's the all or none mentality is completely the best way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is. Like you said, I think certain people can do cold turkey, certain people can't.
Right, but I mean, that's also the thing to know. Like, if you're not a person that can do, like, the one extreme or the other, you're going to struggle with this more mm-hmm. than maybe the person that can. And if you've never done any sort of elimination diet for any time in your life, doing the whole 30 might possibly bring up some issues.
Yeah.
It's always good before you start any kind of elimination diet to just chat real quick with a doctor or a nutritionist or mm-hmm. someone who can specifically look at where you are right now and also comment. Like, this is something I think you get from your clients a lot. You know your clients' lives. You know their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell them. I think that's why they ask you questions about this stuff, because they know you're going to say, yeah, you could do it, or no, I think that's mm-hmm. going to be really... really complicated with your life, or, you know, you have this other thing going on. I don't know if you want to take that on right now.
Right.
And that's what I feel like people also need.
Yeah, good points. Good points. So if you guys have any more questions about the Whole 30, let us know. We'll try to give you as much information as we can, or any other diets we need to investigate. Please let us know. So let's jump into what we're pumped about. I would say I go first.
Okay. Wow.
Pretty sure I let you go first last time. Okay. Pretty sure I let you go. I let you go first last time.
I'm pretty sure you went first last time, but okay.
What? I don't know if that's accurate. All right, so what I'm pumped about, we're keeping it on the food track, and this is definitely something if you have a Whole 30, if you're doing Whole 30, you have one of these. You really should have one. Everybody should have one, in my opinion, but it is Crock-Pot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a food item. No. It's like a food-themed item.
Well, it is kind of food. It's a Crock-Pot.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah,
exactly right. So we got our Crock-Pot out of storage. Crock-Pot. We got our Crock-Pot out of storage recently, and it's already been, we've been using it regularly. I'm very happy it's back. We had some things that, did some Crock-Pot ribs last week.
They were really good.
Mm-hmm, and did some non-Whole 30 lasagna this week.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be doing some, I've got some Canadian geese breasts I'm going to be putting in there. I know Shannon's going to be loving that, but I'm looking forward to eating it. So the crock pot's in full effect. Please, guys, if you don't have one, I know the Instant Pot's out now, whatever. I'm sure that's great too. But some sort of cooker. It's really beneficial. It helps you with that meal planning, meal prepping that they talked about being a con. You can make big batches of things that are, basically coincide with whatever diet plan you're on, hopefully a healthy one. And then you basically have tons of it to eat throughout the week, minimizing basically prep through the week.
Yeah, whereas this said that food prep is apparently a con.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, I would say we have like 3 Tupperware containers in our fridge right now of leftovers from our Crock-Pot meal tonight.
Yep. So what about you? That was what I'm pumped about. I'm pumped that the Crock-Pot's here and it's in full effect. What about you?
Well, what has got me pumped this week is an item that I gifted to myself as a sort of birthday present. And I'm all about, there's like 2 things that really change my mood and my state of mind: music and smells. So in the sense that this does actually make some kind of a sound, it sort of hits on both, but it is my new diffuser, my essential oil diffuser from Sage. This is like, we don't do sponsored things, but at least right now. And we honestly, like the What's Got Us Pump section, this is like purely just things we like. I've used some of the Sage. It's Sage, not Sage, by the way. In case you were curious, thinking about Sage, like the herb. They have some really great diffuser blends. It's very much about the like aromatherapy. They have some really good like award-winning diffusers. A little bit on the pricier side. We've gotten most of our previous diffusers off of Amazon, which have been great. But they definitely have a lifespan, like a shorter lifespan. So I was like, I'm going to give myself a special gift. I'm going to get a nice diffuser. It's supposed to be really well reviewed. And I love it. It is totally my jam right now. I got some nice new diffuser blends. And they're very relaxing. There's some that are kind of more inspiring, like energetic. And then I got a bunch of like holiday spicy blends that we really like. So we have it going right now, actually. I can hear it kind of bubbling away. It's pretty awesome. Mm. Just wanted to give it a shout. So that's what's got me pumped.
Excellent. Another one in the books, baby. very excited for what we got coming up on the podcast. Some exciting stuff. And let us know, guys, if there's a topic we need to investigate. We're always looking for your guys' feedback, so hit us up. All our contact information will be at the end of this episode, but you could always leave it in a rating review on Apple Podcasts or the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page.
Yes.
All right, got anything else for him tonight?
No, I'm very relaxed now with my smells.
Samesies. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.